The Defense Department's one of the largest energy consumers in the entire world, and now the New America Foundation is bringing in one of the senior leaders in charge of making that consumption more efficient. Sharon Burke is senior advisor for the International Security Program at the New America Foundation and former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Operational Energy Plans and Programs and a multiple-time guest on this program. Sharon, it's terrific to have you on the program now that you're on the outside. Welcome. How do you see yourself fitting into this new role at the New America Foundation?
Well, thank you, Francis. On my second day in my new role, I'm not 100% sure, but I think one of the great things about coming to a place like this is when you're in government service, there's just the constant incoming of challenges, and you don't always have a lot of time to reflect on what those challenges mean for the present and the future and what the full range of solutions are. So you come to a place like this, and it gives you that intellectual freedom. So I'm really looking forward to it.
What are the kinds of things that you used to think about in your Pentagon position that you didn't have the opportunity to really explore to the degree that you would like to, that you expect to be able to work on at New America?
Well, I'm very interested in the geopolitics of energy, meaning oil, gas, electricity, and renewable energy, too, and how access to energy affects the security of a nation and the relations between nations, and especially the confluence of defense and energy. So when you look at a country like Russia, I think everyone's really acutely aware right now that they use their energy largesse as political power, but they also use their defense industry as a lever of their economy and of political power, and how do those things all fit together, and how does it relate to our own national security? So I'm very interested in that. I'm very interested in climate change and particularly how communities around the world are actually adapting to the changes that are already happening. How can they adapt? How does that affect security at, the very fabric of security at the most basic level. And, some other things too. It's really nice to be able to engage across the defense world of issues, because I am also a defense generalist. So there's a lot of freedom here to look at a range of issues.
The landscape energy-wise is changing in the United States, obviously, with what's going on with the natural gas revolution and fracking and yet I don't hear a lot of discussion about the potential implications of that on national security. We've been saying for many years through administrations of both parties, we'd like to become more energy independent. We seem to be headed in that direction, and yet I'm not aware of a lot of discussion about what that means for us as a world power.
Oh, exactly. I think it's a really important discussion because even though we are becoming more self-sufficient for now, there are two really important questions about that. And one is, we are still in an interdependent global energy market. So we still, our prices for oil in particular are still going to be set by a global market. So that's one thing. What does it mean for us to be a rising energy power in a world that we're still highly connected to, as are all of our trade partners? Europeans depend on Russia and others for their energy, and they're a really important trade partner for us. So that interdependence is still there. And then the other important question is, this isn't forever. The new resources that we're finding maybe give us a little bit of breathing room as we try to figure out how we're going to run our economy for the long haul. And for oil in particular, at what point we're status quo ante is not clear. But if we squander this and we find ourselves in, who knows, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it takes, if we find ourselves in the same situation we've just been in as recently as 2008, well, then shame on us. So you got to ask the hard questions now.
What is your sense of what those hard questions will turn out to be vis-a-vis figuring out defense strategy in the next half decade to decade?
Well, I think if you look around the world, there are a lot of countries right now that are at a high risk for market disruptions. You look at a country such as Venezuela, Iraq, Libya. These countries are very important energy producers, but they're also at high risk for disruption. Or you look at a country such as Russia, where their energy is really important to their political identity. You can't wait until there's a crisis and then figure out, oh, what are we going to do about it? Because a lot of the tools and the levers you have to deal with an energy disruption crisis, you have to have put in place before, in advance. You know, and again, when we talk about Russia, how can we affect the situation? A lot of the choices that we needed to make in order to affect the situation, we needed to make months or years ago. You know, if Europe wanted to increase its energy security, those were things that had to happen a long time ago. You can't do them on the fly. So I think those are some of the hard questions I think we need to ask.
As we look around the world and try to anticipate where those places might be, you know, a lot of folks have said in looking at what's going on in Ukraine, and hindsight, of course, is always 20/20. But folks said, well, this is something that we might have expected based on what happened in Georgia in 2008. Anticipating where these flashpoints might be in the future would be helpful, but then again, predicting the stock market or knowing the lottery numbers ahead of time would be helpful too. So setting policy in that way seems to be probably the most difficult kind of prognostication you can do.
Yeah, I think so, but at the same time, there's not a lot of mystery here. You know, we know who the big energy producers are, you know who the big transit points are, and you know who the big demand centers are. China and India are increasingly demanding a lot of energy. They're going to drive what the world market looks like. So there's not a lot of mystery about who the major producers and consumers are. And pretty much every major energy producer in the world has problems with that are really spurred by the nature of energy production and the fact that all the money goes straight to the state. There are very few producers in the world that are not undermined in some way by their own energy wealth. So you can actually look in this case. It's not quite as mysterious as the stock market. When something's actually going to become a problem, you know, whole careers have founded on making those kinds of projections. But the fact that you can count on it, that something will happen, whether it's Nigeria or Algeria, that something will happen and it will be disruptive, you can count on that. And again, we know the universe of countries that are driving demand and supply. And then there's also the have-nots. Every country needs some kind of assured supply of energy in order to have a successful economy. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at this and how energy underlies stability and prosperity, and it'll be great to have a chance to look at those questions.
Sharon Brooks wrapping up her second day at the New America Foundation after a distinguished stint as Assistant Secretary of Defense for Operational Energy Plans and Programs at the Defense Department. I want to go back to national security here and the way that we will expect to take advantage or leverage, take advantage is maybe too nefarious a term, but to leverage the advantage that we're gaining as we become an energy exporter rather than an energy importer. What are the implications that will have on our own Defense Department, where you just came from, and the ability to transition either to new types of renewable energy or to more immediately available forms of fossil fuels?
Well, I think there's two important impacts for a consumer such as the Department of Defense. And one is that anytime you're diversifying your energy sources, and especially if you're going to a renewable energy source, that's going to have a general impact on national security that is positive. But as for, you know, whatever we're producing at home, you know, for the Department of Defense as a consumer, that's not quite as important for defense, because the U.S. military buys the fuel, buys the energy wherever they operate, and that energy becomes a huge fat supply line wherever they operate. So the drive to innovate, to need less energy or to use different kinds of energy, is sort of independent of what's happening in the energy economy at home. It's driven by the military we have, the threats that we see in the world, and the fact that all those, the military capabilities, military threats, what we need to be to defend the country, the fact that that's changing is what drives the way we consume energy and the fact that we need to change that.
We've spoken a lot about renewable energy in the conversations that we've had, Sharon. I think of solar and I think of wind and I think of biofuels. Is there a kind of renewable energy that you think has the potential to be a sleeper in the future, that maybe 5 or 10 years from now we'll say, wow, we didn't see that coming? Or does the renewable energy market look pretty much the way the renewable energy market's going to look?
Well, I think the broader renewable energy market, I'm not sure. I know that in terms of where the really interesting plays are for defense, it's definitely higher efficiency solar has a lot of promise. Fuel cells, which is not really an energy source, it's an energy storage device, but still it opens up a lot of possibilities. I think, those are some of the places we're really looking. But I think you also have to consider efficiency as almost a resource in its own right, and that for the Department of Defense, that's a huge, relatively untapped resource, is figuring out how to operate more efficiently could go a long way, and has an independent driver for a place like DOD because they want to have a lighter footprint. That's just part and parcel of the kinds of military operations we're going to see. And I think you see that in a lot of industries, that it's in their interest to push for energy efficiency.
Sharon, I congratulate you on your transition. Thank you for your service and look forward to continuing the conversation in your new role. Thanks for being on the program today.
Well, thank you, Francis. I really appreciate it.